Go to the book of John. As we look through the Bible, we're looking at an overview to help you to get the right mindset. When you're in the Gospels, you are in the largest part of your New Testament. It's one-third. Four books are one-third of the whole New Testament. When you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you're reading books that are giving you views of Jesus, but there's a lot of repetition from different angles, okay? Matthew's going to show you Jesus as King of the Jews. Mark's the servant, shows Jesus as the servant and our burden bearer. Luke, last week, we learned, shows us as the Son of Man, our example, and the humanity of Jesus. When you hit John, 92% of it is unique to John. Most of what you read in John, you won't read in the other three Gospels. The only three things that are in the book of John is the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus' triumphal entry on the foal of a donkey that no one had ridden, and the crucifixion and resurrection. Other than that, everything else is different in the book of John. So John is called one of the chapter one. Okay? The first 54 words, only three of the 54 words have more than one syllable. It's the simplest book to read. When we say your King James Bible has a 5.4 grade reading level, that's because they took John chapter 1 and then put it in the Flesch Kincaid Reading System Analyzer. Okay, just like they analyze children's readings levels. So John, now other parts of your Bible can be more complex, but the book of John is called the simplest to read and the deepest book. Theologically, spiritually, to look at the purpose of John, go to John chapter 20 and look at verse 30. Ready? Here's the purpose of the book of John. John chapter 20 and look at verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Stop just for a second. The purpose of the Gospels isn't to tell you everything that Jesus did while he was here on this earth. The purpose of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the purpose is to teach you enough about the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can place your faith in him to save you. That's why they're called the Gospels, and before they were called the Gospels, they were called the Evangelists. Everything's not written, but look at verse 31, but these, or what's in the book of John, are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. Okay, stop, just for a second. The word Jesus means Savior. The word Christ means the Anointed One. So the Savior, Jesus Christ, I could have put it on the board, but the Savior who was God in the flesh, Christ. That's what Jesus Christ means. God says the book of John shows you that Jesus is God in the flesh. So the deity of Christ, and that believing ye might have life through his name. That's why we say, if when the Bible is new to you and you've not read it, the book of John shows you how to get saved, and the book of Romans shows you what you need to understand about the doctrines of grace after you get saved. Could you start at Genesis and read your way through? Sure. But if the Bible is new, and what we tell every new Christian, that's how come, you know what's published most? More than the whole Bible itself, is what do they give new converts? The little pamphlets that have John and Romans. Sometimes you'll find just John, sometimes Romans. But why is the emphasis there? Because they're written to show you how to get saved, and then what happened after you get saved. So out of that, there's the purpose of the book of John. The key word is believe. In 21 chapters, you're going to read the word believe over 90 times. Believe and have everlasting life. Believe and have eternal life. If you define the word believe correctly, you get the answer of what salvation is. Somebody came to our church and they looked at the track rack and they said, how come you don't have any tracks here in this church mentioning repentance? I didn't find repentance in any of your tracks. I said, because I define believing when I go out soul winning and I use the word repent. I said, but I don't have to put repentance in the tracks. I said, you have to repent or you can't get saved. But if you define the, okay, the book of John is written to show you how to get saved, and the word repent isn't found one time. But the word believe is. And the word believe, the way we use it in the English language, is if I say, do you believe in Abraham Lincoln? I don't mean, are you trusting Abraham Lincoln? I mean, do you know about him? So that's how we use the word believe. But when you read the word believe in your Bible, it means to solely depend upon, to rely only upon, to solely trust. If you truly put your faith or believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing else, you have repented. If you repent to get saved, you believe on Jesus Christ. They're interchangeable. The word believe and repent. If you properly repent, you're believing. And if you properly believe, you're repenting. And that same person, they said, we don't know if we want to go to your church. And I was just, this must have been 3.5 years ago, okay? Nobody here knows who they are because they're no longer here. But I said, go soul winning with me. After I led the third person to the Lord, he went, I think, 2 Saturdays in a row. And after we got back in the car, he said, I've never heard anybody teach the word believe like you do. Well, if you're reading the book of John, you're going to read the word believe. Literally, I put 90, but it's more than 90. I think it's 93 if you want to get specific. Just define the word right, and you'll have what it takes to get saved. Don't use it in modern day. Use it the way your Bible uses it. Okay, so the key word is believe. Here we go. We're going to try to work our way through the information. Since the book of John is written to show Jesus is the Christ, okay, then I would think the deity of Christ, or the fact that Jesus was God in the flesh, is a Bible study that you should have access to. We won't go through this morning, but if it starts in Genesis, from chapter 1, God tells you he's a plural individual. Let us make man in our image. Isaiah 6:8, who will go for us? Genesis 11:7, let us go down and look at man. God refers to himself as a Godhead or the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. So, to me, okay, I'll get through this here in just a second. If you don't see that Jesus is God when you read the Bible, I'm going to come to this conclusion. It's because you haven't read the Bible. Okay? You got wrapped up in a cult, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and they don't read the Bible. They read only sections of the Bible that show you what they want you to believe. But I've learned that in dealing with Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. No, they don't teach the whole Bible. So if this is an obvious truth. If you take a picture of this on the board, the verses in red are more of the more common used verses, but I use them when I go soul winning, but there's so much on the deity of Christ. Okay, so we know the book of John is written to show you that. You could stick just in the book of John. Let's answer the question one more thing here. Who was John? Who was it that God used to pen the book? His brother was James, and you heard of James and John, the sons of thunder, the son of Boanerges. He was the younger brother. He was also the youngest of all 12 of the apostles. This is the one that at the Lord's Supper, at the Last Supper, put his head on Jesus' breast and hugged him. And this is John is the one who the Lord refers to as the one that Jesus loved. Well, he loved all of them. But John was very, you could say, spiritual, and you could say intimate with the Lord, okay? And he was aware of it. That's why Paul was used of God to pen 13 books of the New Testament. John was next. He penned 5. John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation. Okay? So you got the Apostle Paul, wonderfully used of God. John is somebody. As soon as the Apostle Paul was put to death by Nero, John was pastoring the church in Jerusalem, and he left. The records say he immediately left and went to Ephesus and pastored it there from 60 to 90 for about 20 some odd years. And then he was exiled to Patmos, which was where they sent prisoners, right? So the Roman government had different ways of dealing with disobedience. In some cases, it was exile. So they just literally dropped the old man off on the island where other prisoners were. And you can go to this day to the cave where legend says that God gave the book of Revelation to John. All right? Who else was John? What else about John? He's the only one that died a natural death. Matthew, nailed to the ground. Barnabas, pulled through the streets till his body fell apart. Luke, hung from a tree. Peter, crucified upside down. Andrew, crucified on an X-shaped cross. He's the only one that didn't die a martyr's death. He lived to be an old man, many think near 100 years old, which was kind of rare back then. I don't know how he made it on the aisle with the prisoners, you know, but obviously. One thing about John, though, it's not that he was without suffering. The Romans boiled him in oil one time to try to kill him, and he lived through it. So if you could imagine a cauldron of oil and being dipped in it and coming out, your whole body would be burned. God kept him alive. So to look at John, you ever seen a burned person? You ever seen their skin wrinkle and stuff? That would have been all over his face, his body, to look at him. Okay? So he's the only one that died a natural death per se, but I think he definitely knew what suffering for the Lord was. And he was a disciple of John the Baptist before he was a disciple of the Lord Jesus. John the Baptist reached him and his brother, and then they transferred over. And it's interesting, in your Sunday school lesson, it says it was penned in 90 AD, and most think the book of John was penned at the end of his life. There's an aspect I'm going to give you, and then we'll dive into the book. Okay, watch closely. This isn't over anybody's head, but it's a thought, right? The word disciples is used 71 times in Matthew, 46 times in Mark, 35 times in Luke, and 65 times in John. But the word apostle is not used any in the book of John, but it's used in all the other apostles, in all the other gospels. Okay, think with me just for a second. They were disciples while Jesus was here, but when Jesus ascended to heaven, they became the apostles or the ones sent in his place. So that's why many think, because the word apostle is not used in the book of John to refer to the disciples, many think that the book of John was written earlier than 90 AD. Speculation doesn't say, and also the date of the book's not in the book. It doesn't say it was written in 90 AD. That's all speculation by people. Okay? So, just a thought, the word apostle's not used, but we obviously know they became apostles. If you wanted a simple outline, okay? I'll show you what this means here. Chapters 1 through 12, they call the ministry to the multitudes. And chapters 13 starts with the night before the crucifixion. And it goes, okay, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 9 chapters on the night of the crucifixion, and then what Jesus did after he rose from the dead. So you got 9 chapters, almost half the book, almost half, on Jesus' ministry to the disciples. Okay? So that's a simple breakdown. That's a simple, if you needed an outline. I like this next one a lot better. The book of Matthew, Mark, and Luke is going to cover, Matthew and Luke definitely covers the early days of Jesus, but they all cover that 3.5 year period when time between Jesus' baptism by John and his resurrection, 3.5 years. John only covers, in 21 chapters, you're only going to read 7 days. 7 days. Which is amazing because each chapter is going to show Jesus Christ as God in the flesh. It's going to teach you something about Jesus that you need to know to get saved. All right? Each chapter, what makes John unique is each chapter will stand by itself. If you read Matthew, Mark, or Luke, you can read just a chapter if you want, but it helps if you know what's going on. With John, it's amazing. each chapter can literally stand by itself. And it's showing you an aspect. For instance, go to John chapter 1. I'll just show you this. No, we don't have time to go through all this, but watch this. John chapter 1. The books of John that God used John to pen, John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation, you'll notice have no introduction. Like when you read the Pauline epistles, it's Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, saved by the grace and mercy of our God the Father, to the church in Corinth, to the church in Ephesus. When you read the books of John, there's no introduction. It's literally just jump right in. And how does John start? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Here we go. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So what's the first thought you get when you read the book of John, chapter 1? Jesus Christ is from the beginning, and He always was, and He's God Almighty in the flesh. Because you're supposed to take verse 1 and go to verse 14. Go to verse 14. It says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." We've been doing that since I've been taught soul winning. When you show someone who Jesus is, you always read John chapter 1, verse 1, and then you go down to verse 14. And then, where do you go? You go up to verse 12. Ready? "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." That's how you get saved. Okay? So John chapter 1 is one of those obviously wonderful chapters. Now, if we take you to John chapter 2, this is where Jesus said He's going to tear down the temple and then rebuild it in 3 days, but He's talking about the resurrection. John chapter 2 is where Jesus does His first miracle, and He turns the water into wine, and we'll refer to that here in just a second. John chapter 3 is what? You must be born again. You won't get to heaven. John chapter 4 is when Jesus talks to the woman at the well. You want to see something unique? Look at John chapter 3. Ready? Look at John chapter 3. And notice when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. Look at verse 1. Ready? "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God." So this is a ruler of the Jews. This is somebody who's in the Sanhedrin. And he's coming to Jesus by night because he's scared of getting found out. He doesn't want anybody else to know. And Jesus said, "You need to get saved. You need to get born again, or you're going to die and go to hell. Ye must be born again." Notice how many verses Jesus talks to Nicodemus, this religious person that's lost. He goes from verse 1 all the way to verse 21. And in verse 22 it says, "After these things came Jesus and His disciples." So the discussion stops. So you get 21 verses to a religious man that's lost in John chapter 3. Look at John chapter 4. It says here, I just start at verse 1. It says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard Jesus, that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John." Interesting verse, though Jesus Himself baptized not, but His disciples. Baptism is important, but if baptism is what saves you, then why didn't Jesus baptize? Baptism does not save you. Jesus baptized nobody while He was here. Okay, interesting point. Good to know. Keep on reading. "He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and He must needs go through Samaria." Watch this. It says here, verse 7, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink, for His disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the woman Samaritan." Okay, what's a Samaritan? That's a half Jew, half Assyrian, right? So it's a Jew half breed, right? It's a people that the Jews hate. The Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. In other words, they hate them. Jews are very prejudiced people. Okay? Jesus talks with this woman, and she gets saved, and she goes into the town and brings all the men to the well. And it says, many believed on him for her testimony. So here is a woman that has had four husbands, and Jesus, you read it yourself, and Jesus addresses her and says, yeah, and the one that you're living with right now, you're not married to. Jesus says that to her. But she gets saved. Do you know how long Jesus talks to this woman who's never read the Bible? She's a Samaritan. Count the verses. Ready? It says here, look at verse 42, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. I believe the dialogue stops there at around 43. You say, what's your point? In John chapter 3, Jesus spent 21 verses talking to a religious man that was lost. In John chapter 4, Jesus spent 42 verses talking to a woman that didn't know anything about the Bible. And you know what I gather from that? Jesus' patience with people that are religious but lost is short. If you ask me, who would I rather lead to the Lord? I'd rather lead to the Lord somebody that's never been in church that isn't going to argue with me than somebody that's religious and lost. They're a lot easier to talk to. And Jesus shows you that in John chapter 4. Okay? So there's things that you're going to see as you read through it. Each chapter shows a different aspect of the Lord Jesus. Think with me just for a second. Do you remember when Moses, we're going way back in time, right? 1,500 years. When Moses saw the burning bush, and the burning bush spoke to Moses, Moses asked the question, who shall I say sent me? Who? And what did God tell Moses in Exodus 3, 14, 15, and 16? I am. The I am hath sent you. And what did God say about those two words? I am. He said, this is my name to every generation. This is my name forever. So when God says he is the I am, that means he always is. And there never was a time when God is not, and God doesn't dwell in time, right? Okay, deep thought, good thought. Okay, take that name, take the name of the Lord from Exodus 3, 14 and 15, and where God says he is the I am. Now let's come to the book of John. In the book of John, there's seven times. Interesting, what's the number seven in the Bible? God's number of completion, right? So, seven times in the book of John, Jesus is going to declare, I am the bread of life, John 6:35. I am the light of the world, John 8:12. I am the door, John 10:9. I am the... And every time Jesus, what's the purpose of the book? To show you he's God, right? There are seven times Jesus says, I am God. Take the first thought. I am the bread of life. To a Jew, a loaf of bread, literally because of the calories and what you need to sustain yourself, bread is looked upon as, it's not worshipped, but it's looked at as a source of life. When Jesus said, I am the bread of life, he is saying, I can meet all of your needs. Just like you need bread to live, you need bread to sustain yourself. He said, I am the living bread. The bread that came down from heaven, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Chapter 11, 25 and 26. I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, 6. And I am the true vine. John 15, 1. So, seven declarations that Jesus is God. One more thing. Ready? There's seven times in the book of John that he says, I am. Then there are seven works of Jesus in the book of John that you need to take notice of. Go to John 5:36. Go to John 5:36. I believe you're in chapter 4. John 5:36. Watch this. It says, but I have greater witness than that of John. Watch. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Keep in mind, there's seven things, seven works that Jesus does in the book of John that shows he's God. Okay? As a matter of fact, before we get into these seven things, go to one more place. Go to John 14, verse 6. John 14, verse 6, and then I'll show you the seven works. John 14, and look at verse 6. If somebody said, what's your favorite gospel? If you ever dive into it and read it more and study it and use it and look at it and look at the overview, I would have to say probably my favorite gospel would be the book of John because it's so deep. Like I said, each chapter stands by itself. There's so much, and I like Matthew. I've got favorite parts of Luke, all that, but John is just a unique book in itself in what it's going to show you about the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 6. It's a good verse to memorize. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Watch this. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Now you see Jesus' frustration. Verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? You picture Jesus going, you still don't get it, Philip? I've been with you three and a half years, and you still don't understand? If you're looking at me, if you've seen me, you've seen God, because I'm him. And you see Jesus' frustration. Look at verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Okay, if you take John 5:36, and you take this chapter, this portion that we just read, Jesus said, watch carefully the miracles that I've done while I was here, and they will show you that I'm God. That's where I'm getting this. The first miracle that you're introduced to is chapter 2, and it plainly says, the first miracle Jesus did on this earth was turns the water into wine. Transforms common water into the best wine. That's what they say. Wow, you've served the best wine at last. Normally you serve it first. You say, what's that a picture of? Jesus is the only one who transforms a life from nothing to something. He's the only one that can do that. God, nobody had ever done that on the face of the earth. How about the next miracle? Long distance healing, chapter 4. What happens? The nobleman sends his servants to Jesus, an 8-hour walk. Took them 8 hours to get to Jesus, and they say, our master's servant is dying. Could you come and heal him? And Jesus said, go your way. He's healed. Jesus does a long distance healing. It's never been done before, that only God could do. The servants walk back 8 hours. They get to the house the next day. The master comes out. He says he's healed. And they say, yeah, we know. Jesus told it. He said, when did he do that? Yesterday at about 1 o'clock. And the master thought, that's when he died and then got up out of the bed and rose. Only God could do that. That's the next miracle that you're introduced in the book of John. And it does what? It shows you that he's God. Next, healing of the lame man at the waters. It shows you, that's chapter 5, 1 through 6. It shows that Jesus helps those who have nobody. And then the feeding of the 5,000, chapter 6, 6 through 13. Like I said, the book of John, these are amazing. Jesus said, I want you to look at what I did. To feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That means he made something out of nothing. Only God could do that. And have 12 baskets left over of fragments. Only God could do that. I want you to notice something. Jesus then calms the storm, which show he has unlimited power. Go to chapter 6 and look at verse 16. Ready? Chapter 6 and look at verse 16. Okay, chapter 6. Look at verse 16. It says, now, so after Jesus has departed, it says here, and when even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea John 6:17, and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 5 or 20 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into it. Notice there's nothing about Peter walking on the water. Right? In the other Gospels, Jesus tells Peter, Peter says, Well, if it's really you, tell me to come and walk, and Peter gets out and he walks till he sees the storm, then he starts to sink. Jesus grabs him and they both get into the boat. In all those accounts, the storm stops blowing when Jesus gets in the boat, but notice John chapter 6. Notice this, verse 21. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. They were transported. That's something only God could do. So you picture Jesus walking on the storm of the water, and the ship is doing this, just like it says in the other accounts. And then right when Jesus steps in the ship, into the boat that they were in, poof, they're at land and everything's calm. The miracles that he did, he said, testify of who I am. I'm telling you, I'm God in the flesh. And the works that I do while I'm on this earth will show you that so that you can believe and be saved. That's John chapter 6. Then, John chapter 9, Jesus heals one born blind. Had blind people been healed before? Yes, but nobody. Here we go. Nobody in the Old Testament, New Testament, or in 2,000 years that was born blind has ever been healed. Only Jesus did that. To show what? He could reconstruct the body. Only God could do that and heal. That was a huge miracle. That's really all of John chapter 9, the argument, the rejection of the young man. And finally, what's the last thing Jesus does before he dies on the cross? Jesus raises Lazarus from the grave. After he's been there 3 days, behold, it's been 4 days, Lord, and he stinketh. That's what it says. And Jesus still called Lazarus forth out of the grave to show what? His power over death. Only God could do that. Only God. So you've got 7 times Jesus tells you that he's God, and you have 7 specific works that he wants you to look at while you're reading the book of John to show that he is God in the flesh. I'll show you something I've used. Go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, and the book of John's going to do some explaining about Jewish tradition because it's written to Jews and Gentiles. It's written to the whole world so that anybody could get saved, knowing who Jesus is. Notice this. This is one of the explanations. Look at verse 15. John 5:15. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered, watch closely, answered them, My Father worketh hitherto and I work. Okay, if you read that with a Western mindset, you're going to think, okay, God's the Father, He's the Son, 2 different people, right? That's Western thinking. No problem. Read the next verse carefully. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. When Jesus said, My Father worketh, the Jews knew it. They knew that Jesus was saying, "By every time I say God's my Father, I'm telling you, I'm not Father-Son, I'm equal with the Father." We don't, in the Western world, if you don't have John 5, what? John 5:18? You don't know that. You'll read the Bible. I don't know how that is. When you tell me this is my Father, this is my Son, I think 3 different people, right? That's not the way Jesus said in the Bible. Interesting things like that that show you Jesus was God. And I hope the book of John is a blessing to you. Okay, read it. Read it with a pen in hand.